go back into South Bend's history. 20 years, 50 years, 100 years? And what do you see? You see groups of people working to bring change to this city. They had different ideas of what that change should be. They didn't always agree. Yet, in every decade, there were groups of people for whom positive change was their life's work. This podcast, South Bend's Own Words, features the voices of people who helped make the city change. We'll share clips from the oral histories done by the Indiana University South Bend Civil Rights Heritage Center that tell a more complete history of the city. It's the story of many cultures, not just one. It's the story of South Bend. Born in Rockville, Illinois, in 1917, by 1935, Madeline Smothers joined members of her family living in South Bend's East Side. She befriended some of the family friends, specifically lawyers Jay Chester and Elizabeth Fletcher Allen. She babysat the Allens' kids, and she went to work in their downtown law firm. This was at a time when more and more African Americans were leaving the South to chase factory jobs up north. South Bend was rapidly expanding and evolving in many ways. But for African Americans, they were still confronting the entrenched racism they hoped they were fleeing when they left the South. As entrenched as racism was, many people still pushed for change, including the Allens. And their young, fair-complected friend Madeline was a palatable candidate for some of the first jobs held by African Americans downtown. The trust she built led Ara Parsegian, the University of Notre Dame's football coach in the late 1960s and early 1970s, to ask Madeline and her husband for help recruiting and retaining black athletes. In 2003, David Healy sat down with Madeline in the East Side home she lived in for decades. Madeline talked about the early days of South Bend's growing African-American community, her time with the Allen family, and how different her experience was as a light-skinned African-American woman in South Bend.
Good morning.
Now, I understand from our past conversations that you are not a native of South Bend, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what year did you arrive here in South Bend?
1935.
What brought you to South Bend?
I am my first cousin is my age. She's deceased now. And we had been a new family. And growing up, I used to visit South Bend to visit her family, her mother, her father, and my first cousin, Beatrice. And in visiting her, I'm from a small town. And I liked coming here, and I came up here when I graduated from high school to visit her and ended up staying here.
So you liked South Bend?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what did you and your cousin do as young ladies here in South Bend? What did you do for entertainment?
Well, we went to the movies. And
what movie theaters did you go to? Do you remember? Was it the Grand or the State or...
I remember, it seemed like there was a Granada. I remember. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We went to the Granada, and they belonged to the church right on my corner here, First AME Zion Church. They went to church on Sunday. I went to church on Sunday. And whatever other young people do, went to the bought malts and we were with your friends, went to picnics and parties, whatever teenage children did at that time.
Okay, so when did you acquire your first job here in South Bend?
Well, through my family, I knew, in fact, my cousin Beatrice was doing some babysitting for the Allen family. That was Jay Chester and Elizabeth Allen. And she was babysitting for their...
You had two children, Sarah.
There was three at that time. Sure. She was babysitting for Sarah. And through her, and they live quite near to where we live, I got to meet Jay Chester and Elizabeth Allen, Mr. and Mrs. Allen, who was to me, and remained that way. And they took an interest in what I was doing, and that I had taken all these business in high school. I took all the business courses that could be, and I could type. And they had an office downtown, and I got so sometimes in that late evening as they were getting ready to leave, I'd go up there and use their typewriter. And they took an interest in me, and as to my ability, I guess you would say, what I could do. I could type, and I was taking shorthand and all those courses. And I had hoped to go to college. That's what we, but my parents were not, I was interested in going to IU, and but our finances at that time did not, I couldn't go to college. I think if I had returned home, my parents would have somehow sent me to college. But I got up here, and I was enjoying myself.
So the Allens took an interest in you, and you told me that you were the first African-American to be hired downtown and worked downtown. How did that come about? What job was that?
There was in South Bend a Negro club. You know, we had an organization. There was an organization of people that were working in politics. Of course, I, being young and just in the community, really didn't know what was going on. They were seeing these people that were in authority asking them to hire a colored person. And I guess as they negotiated, they did come to a point where Mr. Biskewicz had said he would hire a colored person. And through the people that I had come to know, they happened to select me.
And you went to work with the Allens. What were they like? They were very involved in the community. Do you remember any of their...
Yes, they were. As you see here, J. Chester Allen was elected state representative. She was very active. She was a lawyer.
Now, you say she was for women's rights.
Yes. Women that had domestic problems. You had a domestic problem, and maybe your husband, you felt that your husband was mistreating you, and you said that to her, and she believed you. Well, the husband might as well forget it. She was that firm about doing whatever necessary to prevent abuse to women.
And when did you meet your husband?
Oh, when I came to South Bend, probably the next day, I don't know. But I probably knew him before. We lived in this little community. I lived in this east side practically all of my life, a one-time way. And he lived with his family a couple blocks over. And, of course, he knew my cousin, Beatrice. They were all friends. This was all her friends, and I met them all, many of them. That's how I got to know people in South Bend.
When do you remember him, or where do you remember him working at when he came back to South Bend, when you got married?
He was a young man, of course. He was doing just ordinary jobs. There was a garage downtown on Main Street, not too far from the post office, that he worked, and whatever he did, clean up or help clean up cars or whatever. He did just ordinary things. He went to work at Bendix. He was when Bendix first hired black colored, as I said. He was one of that first group. And then, of course, the war came along, and they went to the service and all that type of thing.
You mentioned that you were affiliated with the, I think they called it the Colored Democratic Club.
That's what they called themselves.
But your club... basically, it was an organization of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? How did you organize? Do you remember?
How?
Do you have meetings?
Yes, we used to have meetings and discuss candidates and people. They would ask us for their support and if they were running for election. Yes.
So they would come to talk to you.
Yes, you would have occasion to meet with them. Uh-huh.
So you provided a forum for
people
to talk.
Oh, yes. They could come, and you could have a neighborhood meeting or at one of the clubs. And they would come and tell you what they were expected to do, and you would assume they were going to do it. As a, we were living in this house, and Notre Dame was just beginning to integrate athletes in their department. Arab Procedure was a coach out there, and my husband knew Julius Tucker, you heard of the Tucker Freight Line, I suppose, and the Tucker business down. And Julius told my husband that Air had recruited a colored players, and this one young man that he liked so well was so homesick that he said he was going to leave South Bend. His name was Larry Schumacher, and he wasn't going to stay at Notre Dame. But and Julius asked Ed, why don't you have him come over? And that was Ed and Julius, and we did. We invited Larry Schumacher to come over to our house, met him, and he came over and had dinner. And he became a good friend of ours, and we ended up being his child's godparents. And he got to know the other boys out there, and we started doing little things for them out in our home. Like they'd come over, and I'd fix dinner. They had gotten involved in helping, trying to help recruit some of the black players. If a black player would maybe come in town with his parents to be interviewed at Notre Dame by Arab Procedure, we might be asked to join them when they took them to dinner. And we did things like that for the young people, for the young black people that were coming along.
So you were like home away from home for the black athletes at Notre Dame.
And Tom Gatewood was here last weekend in town and visited, and we were talking about old times, naturally. And I reminded him there wasn't a boy, that was like, they came to this house that ever had a drink or a marijuana cigarette. We didn't serve any drinks, and we didn't have anything. And of course, they didn't smoke ordinary cigarettes because kids like football one. But as far as coming here, there's not a man that could say that Ed and I gave them anything but Cokes and food. I baked a lot, cookies, brownies. My brownies were supposed to be exceptionally good. They were no better than anyone else's. But when they tell you that, you run out and make another pan. So that was what we would do. I now wonder how I did it, because I wasn't a good cook, but I'd prepare dinner and have them come to eat dinner.
Now, when you were when you were here in South Bend as a young lady, did you go to the Natatorium?
I went to the Natatorium on a regular basis. I was interested in swimming, and at first you went once a month, and then you could go every week. Can't remember the days.
I think it was Monday.
I remember it was Monday. Yeah, they did pick Monday. They selected Monday as the day that the colored folks could come. As I was told, we colored people didn't swim. We didn't have pools to go to.
You were talking about you were here. You had children. Evidently, they went to Pearly School.
Pearly. John Adams and Jefferson and John Adams.
Did they have any black teachers when they were growing up?
When they started, no. I'm trying to think who was maybe would have been their first black. There was no one. But I look back, and my kids did get special attention, I think. I went to, with them at the school dressed nicely. I think about it sometimes. But they both went on to Jefferson and went on to high school and went to college.
Do you think they were encouraged by the high school counselors to go to college, or did you do that mostly
at home? I guess so, yes. And we encouraged them. My husband encouraged them. And
Well, that seemed to be one of the differences between being in the East Side and being in the West Side. You went to Washington, or you went to Central. I think black people are treated a little differently than on the East Side. East Side seems to be a little more liberal, a little more.
Yeah, I think so. And it seemed like it was a smaller community.
You didn't feel any prejudice against your children?
I don't think so.
Did you go to Playland Park or Melody Garden?
Yes, I used to go to Playland Park. Went to Playland Park when I used to have dances for colored people. you know, we had a little pavilion out there. Someone would sponsor a dance and bring in out of town a person, this man that, I can't think who came. People would come out there.
Well, they had all the big names were out there.
Oh, yeah, they've all been. This one that just died, Barry, somebody just died.
Or Barry someone. White.
And he might have been there. I know that Baby King and all those big names, Jimmy Lunsford, and all those big names would come to play Lampard. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were, you mentioned that as a young lady, you were downtown South Bend, you worked downtown South mm-hmm. Bend. Did you ever experience any problems at Kresge's or?
Well, no, if you, of course, I tell you, I was never faced with any prejudice.
You know, I've heard that from several people, mm-hmm. that it seems to be, I don't know, whether it's the East Side versus
No, it wasn't
West
that.
Side,
it was
what?
How I looked. I did not look like I was colored. That's it. That's the difference, because I had all kinds. When I went to work at the Francis shop, the lady that took my application is now, we're friends. We've remained friends. We have a little group that gets together once a month. And when I had filled out the application, naturally I put, I don't know whether I put colored or Negro, but the woman that ended up with my application has since told me years, and we're still friends, they could not believe when they saw I put on the application what I was. I don't know that I was a Negro or I was colored. I think I put colored. And I didn't look. I'd go places, and then sometimes I'd have occasion to tell someone that I was colored. They were very surprised, but no. So I wasn't that I, for any other reason than how I look. So I knew I was colored, and all my family, my cousin that I was with, and her brother, who was very close to me, Troy Ross, who was my cousin too. We were just were colored, and we went to the colored churches and did the things that we knew. And knew I couldn't eat downtown at certain places. And like when I'd go out with my friends from the Francis shop or from the courthouse to go, no one paid any attention to me. So I wasn't bothered with any discrimination, so to speak. Unless I went out someplace with my husband, and we wouldn't go to such and such a place because you knew you weren't supposed to eat there. And if I'm with my husband, which I'm with another date, because I'd be home, or a group of my women friends, it would have made a difference. But I didn't notice the difference.
South Bend's Own Words was created by Kevin Tidmarsh and me, George Garner. This episode was produced by Juitu Pangani from the Ernestine M. Racklin School of the Arts at IU South Bend, and by me through the Civil Rights Heritage Center. Visit us and learn how IU South Bend students inspired the transformation of a once segregated South Bend swimming pool. We give guided tours and offer public events that show how the history of oppression echoes through this city today. See and hear more history, plan your visit, or share your thoughts about this episode, all at crhc.iusb.edu.